Boker Tov. We're continuing Parashat Achremot and Kedoshim. Mm-hmm. For they are read together this week, much to my chagrin. Okay, where did we get up to?
I think we had chapter 17.
We finished yesterday the introduction to the service of Yom Kippur.
Yes.
And that fell into place, that fell into the overall narrative, because Aaron's sons, they went in without... I don't know if they necessarily went into the Kodesh HaKodeshim. It doesn't say that. They probably even didn't go into the Kodesh HaKodeshim because they were bringing an Esh Zara. They were probably putting it on the golden altar. But from that, we learn what happens when a person goes places where he shouldn't in the Mikdash. So everybody's curious, well, are we allowed to go into the Kodesh HaKodeshim? Yes, but under very controlled circumstances, only once a year and only for the Kohen Gadol. And he'll do it on behalf of all the people. And then the whole process of getting atonement for the people once every year, that was we studied all of that. And that was the process of Yom Kippur. And then the part finishes by telling us the exact date. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
It says... And this pasuk is where all the laws of Yom Kippur come from. Okay. Now, it's going to be an interesting thing because it's very hard to know how the topics flow from one into the next.
This is but the controlling Kobanot.
Yeah, so for the next piece, I broke it up into four segments. One is the laws of Shechita outside the context of Korbanot. Mm-hmm. Two is bringing Korbanot outside the Mikdash. Three is not eating blood. And then four... is covering the blood when you kill an animal that will not be brought for korban. Okay, so I struggled. I thought about it a lot, and I still haven't come up with a good answer. What are these? These laws fit into the overall pattern, general idea of having to do mikdash
and korbanot, and also the korban for Kippur and all of this. Now we go into be careful.
Right.
The same way that you cannot go in the Kodesh HaKodeshim. You shouldn't take anything outside.
Another thing to notice is that these laws are the last set of laws that we're going to see before the topic switches completely away from Mikdash, from the Mikdash.
Correct.
So we've been speaking about the Mikdash for a long time, for Tumah Tahara, Mikdash, Tumah Tahara. Going into the Mikdash, what are the Korbanot, the Kohanim's Korbanot, this, that. But...
I think it's still, the rest it's still of, about Mikdash because these are also...
But this is the last topic that's going to pertain exclusively to the Mikdash. After this topic, we have the forbidden relationships, which are read on Mincha of Yom Kippur.
Yes.
And then after that, we have Parshat Kedoshim, which is Ishimo v'Avitirao, v'Chabetotai Tishmoru. Bring your leket and pe'ah and shikha. So very, very... there's a lot to think about. Let's do the psukim inside, and we'll see what to make of it. Perek Yud Zayin, Pasuk Aleph. V'yedaber Adonai el Moshe l'amor, Deber l'Aaron v'el banav v'el kol b'nei Yisrael v'amarta aleihem, Zeh hadavar asher tziva Adonai l'amor. Speak to Aaron and to his sons and to all of the children of Israel and say to them, this is the matter that God has commanded, saying, now if Stevie Jotty wanted to really get confused, this is an interesting one.
Oh, yes.
God speaks to Moshe,
and
but he tells him, say to Aaron, his sons, and to the children of Israel. That's like the third variant. You know, sometimes it's God speaks to Moshe saying, sometimes God speaks to Moshe and Aaron saying.
Now there's a whole ladder.
Once there was God spoke to Aaron saying, and now there's God spoke to Moshe, but say to Aaron, his sons, and the Jewish people. Should definitely do a study on that. Okay. Pasuk 3. Ish ish mi bet Yisrael asher ishchat shor o chesev o oez v'machane o asher ishchat michutz l'machane. Anybody who, from the children of Israel, who slaughters an ox or a sheep or a goat in the camp or outside the camp. Pasuk 4. Ve'el petach oel moed lo hebiyo. And he does not bring it to the entrance of the tent of meeting. La'akriv korban la'adonai, to bring it as a korban to God. Lifne mishkan Adonai, before the dwelling place of God. Dam yechashev la'ishahu dam shafach. This is as if he spilled blood. V'nichrat ha'ishahu mikerev ammo. And that person is cut off from his people. Pasuk hey, leman asher yaviu v'nei Yisrael zivchehem, asher hem zovechim al p'nei ha'sadeh, v'vyum la'adonai. And why am I saying this? So that the children of Israel, they should bring their offerings, what they slaughter in the field, that they should bring it to God. El petach o'el moed la kohen, to the entrance of the tent of meeting, to the kohen. V'zavechu zivche shelamim la'adonai otam. And they will bring, and they will slaughter those things as offerings of shelamim for God, those things that they have. Pasuk 6, v'zarak ha'kohen et adam al mizbach Adonai, and thereby they will give the opportunity for the kohen to put the blood
on the altar,
on the altar of God. Petach ha'el moed, at the entrance of the tent of meeting, meaning the copper altar.
Yes.
And he will burn the fats as a pleasant smell to God. And what? Velo yizbehu od et zivchehem la'se'irim. And they should thereby also stop bringing their sacrifices to se'irim, to like the demons or yes. Or to things. Asherhem zonim acharehem, that's a clean way of saying this. That they defile themselves to go after. They prostitute themselves to go after that. Chukat olam tiyazod acham ledorotam. This should be an eternal law for you, for your generations.
Wow.
Now, what I don't understand about this passage, and I put a break in this in my book for this passage, is what is this passage teaching us? What is the exact law?
The law is that you only bring korbanot, only can do it.
Is that what it said?
To my opinion. So that they don't go out and then go and find other gods or other if they do it in the backyards, if they do it all over... the fields and everything, there is no Kedusha. It is not for Hashem.
Okay, and what was the punishment?
Wow, punishment.
V'nichrat ha'ishahu mekerev amo, right?
Cut off. The whole kal.
Now let's look at Pasuk 8. V'alehem tomar, and you should say to them, ish ish mi bet Yisrael, each person from... So it sounds like that we concluded that topic. Because now
yes,
it
now
says...
it's totally different.
Totally different, right? Totally. Now say to them, any man from Israel, new topic, any yes. Man from Israel,
and
umina ger asher yagur betocham, and even from the proselyte.
Yes.
Asher yale ola uzavach, who brings an ola or a slaughtering, ve'el petach oil moed lo yivienu la'asot otu la'adonai, and he does not bring it to the entrance of the tent of meeting to bring it to God, v'nichrat ha'isha u'me'amav, that person gets karet.
Same law.
So what's the first law and what's the second law? Why is it repeating itself?
Maybe the first one is not talking about the proselyte. Here it's saying even the proselyte.
Okay, so tell me that in the first one.
Yes, you have a point.
So you speak to the children of Israel and say that any person or ger in Israel...
Very good point. So what is the first one?
So I'll give you an idea. Perhaps if you look closely at the wording, it says, the first one says, anybody who does shechita on an ox, sheep, or goat in the camp, or does shechita, uses the word yishchat, outside the camp, then he should bring whatever he slaughtered as an offering. But this one, what is it?
Even if he does it outside.
Even if he does it outside. Now this one, what is it saying? Well, it doesn't say anything about shechita. It speaks about bringing an offering. So there could be a situation where, let's say, your wife slaughtered it, right? Then, and you would still bring the dead body as korban. So maybe the second one is talking about if somebody else slaughtered it, and the first one is saying if you slaughter it, it's the same law. I don't know. The what's interesting though is that if you read it very, very according to the Peshat, the first one sounds almost like, anytime I slaughter an animal,
you have to bring it to
us. I have to bring it as korban.
That's it.
So am I allowed to...
Part of it has to come for the korban, maybe.
If it's a chatat, all of it goes to the kohen and to yes. This thing. I don't know if it's the olah, nothing. I don't get any of it.
About the shelamim.
Maybe. But now, and let's say it is. Let's say it even is a shelamim. What? So I'm not allowed to kill an animal to eat it? Just stum? It said, anytime you slaughter an animal outside the camp, you have to bring it as korban. And if you don't, nichrata isha umikereb amo. So is there no permission to eat meat that's not in the context of a korban? So what's very, very interesting is that, and if you look in Sefer Devarim, the 12th chapter of Sefer Devarim, the law is actually not modified. I don't want to say modified, but the law is said differently, very differently. Let me read it for you. Very, very differently. But it seems to be talking about the same idea. Okay? 12 and you're pasuk 20. Okay. In Devarim. I'm in Devarim, Parashat Re'eh, chapter 12, pasuk Kaf. 20th pasuk. When God shall expand your borders. Like when? When you go into Israel. Because Devarim is talking to the Bnei Israel once they're going into Israel. And you say, I want to eat meat. Because you desire having meat. You're allowed to eat meat, however much you want. Because the place that God has put his name there is going to be far. Because you live in a...
So you cannot go there.
So you can't go there for every korban. Yeah. So...
Only the shalosh regalim you have to go there.
Yeah. So you're allowed to do... You're allowed to do shechita on your animals that God has given you. And you're allowed to eat in your gates. Even if you don't bring it to the mikdash.
Okay.
So what does it seem like it's going on? So from the way it's being said in Devarim, it's why are you allowed to eat meat outside the context of the korban?
Because you want to eat it.
No, because you're far from the Mikdash.
Correct.
Because when you live in Israel, not everybody's going to live right next to the Mishkan.
Correct.
When you're traveling in the desert, it's a few minutes to get to the Mishkan. So any korban, anytime you slaughter an animal, bring it as korban first, and then you can eat it. But when you go into Israel, what does Moshe Rabbeinu tell the Jewish people? God is going to expand your land, and everybody's going to live in far-flung places. They only come to the Mikdash 3 times a year. So what, no more meat all of a sudden? So he said, at that point,
you're allowed.
You are allowed to have
meat. The excuse would be because you're too far.
The excuse is because you're too far, right.
Okay, so then it seems like this passage is
speaking dafka to the children of Israel when they are very near the Mishkan in the desert. But halachically, the passage, we take the passage from Devarim, which allows meat, even if we're not in the area of the Mishkan.
So if you live close to the Mishkan, then if you slaughter an animal,
then you have to eat it in the context of a korban, meaning you have to bring it as korban to the Mishkan.
And then eat it as a feast.
And then eat it as a feast of korban.
Okay.
And then what happened in Sefer Devarim? In Sefer Devarim, Moshe says, oh, by the way, you're going to the land of Israel. And I know until now we've been doing all of our meat eating as part of korbanot, but it's not going to really be possible for anymore. So I'm giving you the heter. From now on... So
practically, any time that you do a shechita, if you are... near the Mishkan, you have no choice. You have to go and eat
So here's the thing. I don't want to learn halakha from what I'm saying.
Yes.
I'm trying to understand what the pasuk is talking about. Yes. It's a very odd passage.
Yes.
And I think that could be an interpretation where Moshe is speaking to the children of Israel in their context. Meaning, one, because you're close to the Mishkan, make sure to bring your korbanot. Your whatever you slaughter, bring it as korban. So that he trains the Jewish people in the desert to stop doing avodah zarah to other gods. But when they went into Israel, Moshe Rabbeinu said differently. He said, by the way, now you're permitted to eat meat even if it has nothing to do with the korban. Okay? And for sure this is talking about korban, by the way,
yes.
Because shor, ches, and oez are the 3 types of animals that are korban.
Yes, correct.
Okay? So
he's not talking about all of everything.
Right. Right. He's talking about the things that are korban. Anybody brings a shor, ches, and oez,
specifically those animals that are used for a korban,
yeah.
Be careful, because if you're close to the mikdash,
you have to do it at the mikdash. Right. Good. So it's still a difficult passage, but I think that may explain it a little bit.
Very interesting.
And by the way, this pasuk 7, thereby, by bringing their korbanot, they'll bring it to God, they will no longer serve it to demons. That's a very, very, very important pasuk. Very important pasuk. One of the couple of commentaries say that Azazel was related to this pasuk, but I don't want to get into it because it's very, very deep. Whoa. It's actually very scary. Okay, pasuk 8. We did this also, but I'll repeat it. Let's say you're not doing the shechita. Now, so this time you're bringing the korban, okay? And you don't bring the korban to the entrance of the tent of meeting, but where do you bring the korban? You do a korban outside, that person also, v'nichrat. So meaning there are two halachot. In the first segment, the halacha is, anytime you do shechita and you want to eat, first bring a shilamim, and then eat it as part of a feast. The second halacha is, and if you bring a korban outside the not just the slaughtering, if you bring a korban and make an altar outside the mikdash, that's also you get cut off. Okay, the first law of these, the first law of these two was more applicable to Am Yisrael in the desert because they were all close to the Mishkan. Yes. So after that, even the animals that are brought as korban, like a cow, an ox, a sheep, or a goat, even those that are typically brought as korban were allowed outside the mikdash because people live too far. Okay, that's how I'm interpreting it.
Very nice.
I'm not sure if it's Peshat, but hopefully it's understandable. Pasuk Yud. I try to get through these four laws. V'yishish mibet Yisrael min hagerash agar betocham asher yuchal kol dam. Any man from Israel who eats any blood, or any proselyte who eats blood, I'll put my face upon the person who's eating blood and I will cut him off from his people. Ki nefesh habasar badam hi, for the life of the creature is in the blood. And I told you to take the blood and put it on the mizbeach as kapara.
Yes.
So you're taking something that I designated for the mizbeach,
so that you understand that
and you're
it
putting
be,
it
could be yourself.
Right, so that you understand that it could be yourself. But it's for kapara for you.
Yes.
Now you're eating it. Meaning I said, no, I wanted it on the mizbeach. And you're putting it in your bodies. Okay? So that's not good. And thereby, because A, it's the life of the animal, and B, I want it for the sacrifices. Because of that, I told Bnei Israel, "Kol nefesh mikem lo tochal dam." Anybody, nobody shall have blood. V'ager agar betochem lo yochal dam. And even the proselyte that lives amongst you shall not have blood. Now we can analyze philosophically what this does for a society when there's no blood eating. It's a very beautiful idea. What the blood is represented, how the blood represents the life. What the of the Avodah Zarah used to do with the blood of their animals. There are a lot of details about this law.
Yeah.
Very, very interesting, but we're not going to get into it. Pasuk 13.
There's two lessons about that.
Right. Ve'ish ish mi b'nei Yisrael, and any person from Israel, min ager agar betocham, asher yatsud, sed chaya, or of asher ye'achel, and anybody who captures a chaya, or a bird that may be eaten, meaning one of the chayot that are from the permitted species, or a bird that is from the permitted species, v'shafach etamo v'chisal b'afar, then when you slaughter it, you have to spill the blood
and then cover it
with dirt. Now, why just these? Why just chayaba off?
Because this is everybody is this.
Because you don't bring this as korban.
Yes, and also everybody can do this.
No, I want to focus on if it's a behema, meaning if it's an ox or a sheep or a goat,
that you have to bring
then I'm bringing it to the mikdash, and the blood is being used for the service.
Correct.
Now, when would... So anyways, nobody's going to drink that blood because the Kohen is handling it. So where? When? What is the when do we have to cover the blood to make sure we don't have
when
it?
When you do it.
For an animal that you're not bringing to the Kohen.
That you're doing
and
yourself.
That is only the animals that are chayot and ofot. The animals that are chayot are the types of animals that are not brought in the mikdash. And ofot, which we only saw a few birds, but it was just a turtle dove and a pigeon. But every other bird, you don't make a korban out of any other bird. So these things are not brought as korbanot. So if the Kohen is not handling the blood, then there's room for error on the person who's slaughtering it. He's saying, oh, look, the blood is mine now. Let me drink it. No, don't drink it. You have to cover it with dirt instead. For the life of the animal is in the blood, and I told the children of Israel, do not eat the blood. Anybody who eats it will be cut off. And anybody who has it nevela or terefa, who eats an animal that was either a carcass or was mauled, whether it's amongst the citizens or amongst the prostitutes, he has to wash his clothes and he's tameh until the evening and he becomes pure. And if he does not go to the mikveh, he does not wash his clothes, he carries his sin. That part we have to analyze more tomorrow because it's very strange. there is not, there's not necessarily tum'ah with the terefah. So why is it saying who eats a terefah becomes tameh?
And also, are you allowed to eat the bird that is dead already?
No. Right, it's saying anybody who eats those things with a nevelah and terefah, you become tameh.
But and then so
how about tell us that it's forbidden? Meaning becoming tameh isn't so bad. Tell us it's forbidden.
Yes.
Very strange.
I have a problem with this.
I know. Well, too bad. Amen.